Thank you for the song, Carl, Rachel, Daniel, Matt. You guys got a big weekend coming up this next weekend. And big music weekend. We'll be praying for you guys. I know you're going to do well. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless the music. Looking forward to hearing how all that goes over the weekend. And then when Pastor Ken called on our brother to come up and pray and he handed him the microphone, I thought, big mistake. I mean, he has a big voice. Not a big mistake that he asked him to pray, but he didn't need that microphone. I wish, oh, how many times have I wished that I had a voice like that? Brother Pink, he spoke down at a teen retreat that our missions and several other missionaries put on and sponsor each year. So I had the privilege of being there with him last week and hearing him preach. And he had good messages. Don't get me wrong, the messages were great. But I was in awe just sitting there listening to that voice, powerful voice. And I think, Lord, you gave me this little skinny voice that don't hold up very long. If I try to speak loudly, it changes pitch three times. And, it only lasts sometimes 5 to 10 minutes. Then it just goes all funny. That's why I brought this tea up here. So if you see me sipping on the hot tea, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to endure through the message time and make my voice be able to last. Well, last week and the week before that, we started out on a series Pastor Ken had that was about the mission state and the vision of International Baptist Church. And that mission statement goes something like this. In fact, why don't we all say this together? You can see it up on the screen, but let's just all say this together. Transforming lives through Christ's message of forgiveness, purpose, and hope. Yeah, that's pretty easy to memorize, isn't it? And in case you can't memorize it, or in case you've forgotten it, then it's posted on the wall in the back of the church. So you go by every once in a while and take a look at that. And that just keeps in front of you and in front of I. It keeps in front of us the very reason that we exist. Of course, we gather here on Sunday mornings because we worship God. We want to exalt the name of Jesus. But the reason that there's a building here, and the reason that there is a congregation that we call the church, and the reason that we do all the things that we do that we call ministry of the church, is for that very purpose, to transform lives through Christ's message of forgiveness, purpose, and hope. And not only that, but the word lives has a very special meaning in it as well. Last week, Pastor Ken brought the very first part of the word lives. We kind of divided it up into an acrostic so that the L stands for... Do you remember what the L lives stands for? Yeah, it stands for life. Abundant life. Last week, the message was all about this abundant life. The I is what we're on this week, which stands for infectious love. The next several weeks, we'll be covering the V. What does that stand for? Vibrant growth. E, evangelism. Some went out this past Friday handing out Chinese Bibles, trying to get the Word of God into the hands of others. And the S stands for service. The infectious love that we're going to be talking about this week, as we have it written on our vision statement, goes something like this. Infectious love is the desire to be a church that truly reflects our community and its diversity of people. To be a place that is truly multicultural, diversity is appreciated and embraced, racism and segregation is discouraged. We also will be a place where sin is embraced, accepted, and lovingly shown God's desire to forgive and transform. We will be a church that holds firm our core beliefs, shows Christian liberty to others, and love in all things. I think that's a great part of the vision statement that we have. You know, if we could just get into our minds and into our hearts that one little part of the vision statement, oh, there's much, much more to come. Much that you heard preached last week and still much, much more to come. But if we just embrace this one little part, my, what a church we would be. By the way, when we talk about this vision statement and we talk about let's be this kind of a church and all, let's keep in mind the focus of what we're talking about. We're not talking about let's do this so people will point at IBC and say, oh, look at what's going on there. Look at those people and look at those pastors and look at those teachers. Look at those singers. No. We're doing this and we're preaching this and we're ingraining it into our hearts and our memories so that people in the community will say, look at the Lord that they serve. Look at the God of heaven. Look at Jesus Christ. So our hope and desire is that when others see us, they truly get a little bit of a vision or a glimpse of what it would be like to see Jesus. We've titled this one, this idea, the infectious love. Infectious love. What do you think of when you think of infectious? I mean, at first you kind of think about it and you think, oh, I don't know, that don't sound so good. Anytime I think about the word infectious, I think about it in medical terms. And in a way, that is what we're talking about. We're talking about infectious in this sense, that it's easily spread from one person to another. Something that's contagious. Something that when you're around another person that shows this type of infectious love, that it kind of rubs off on you. It makes you, in some ways, want to be like that person. This past week, Gene and I and our family, we had the pleasure hosting in our home Lolita, Jenny, and Ellie's mom, Oma. That's what they call her, so that's what we call her. She is a dear little lady, I must say. And you know, after the first couple days that we had her in our home, it was kind of hard to communicate, by the way, because she don't speak very much English, and we speak zero Indonesian or Chinese or anything like that. So we communicated just by actions. And we communicated by drawing pictures and things of that sort. After about 2 days, she started coming up and she would grab either Gina's arm or perhaps Faith or Catherine or sometimes mine or Josh. She would just grab our arms and she did say this. She would hold on to our arm and she would look and she would say, I love you. And it was so infectious. Just being around her made us in some ways want to be like her. Even though we couldn't communicate, just her actions, the things that she would do, the cuteness of who she was. And by the way, one of the things that we found out that she does all the time, just about basically, is read her Bible and pray. Almost never stops. That's the kind of infectious love that spreads from one person to another. And our family is the better for it because we've had the opportunity to be around someone that is spreading this type of an infectious love. And as our desire at International Baptist Church is to be an infectiously loving church, we would like to spread that not only among the congregation, but to the community, and ultimately, as the great command of the Lord calls for us to do, to all parts of the rest of the world. So that's it's quite a goal. It's quite a vision that we have. Talking about the word love, we can come to a lot of conclusions, and we could go to a lot of places in the Bible. In fact, in the New Testament alone, more than 700 times does the Bible mention the word love in such a way that's talking about an action or something that is to take place. Not just love as a word that we have in our mind, but a word that comes through in our actions, it comes through in our life, it comes through in everything that we do. The world has often taken the word love and changed it around. The world will take the word love and turn it into something that just means an infatuation or a feeling. Something that we can fall into or just as easily fall out of. Friends, that wasn't God's idea of love. In fact, let me just go and say this for those of you who are members and those of you who are regular attenders of International Baptist Church. When you join us, when you come and be a part of this congregation, we hope and pray that it's not something that you just kind of fall into and fall out of. I hope and pray that it's something that you embrace as a part of who you are and we are in the sight of the Lord, and that that love then becomes infectious to other people. This kind of love that we're going to be talking about this morning has its origins based in God. For indeed, the Bible tells us that God is love. And love is one of the primary characteristics of our Heavenly Father. Likewise, God has given you and I this ability to love. To love beyond just an affection, or to love beyond just an emotion, or to love just beyond good works. See, the Bible talks about two different kinds of love. There's one kind of love in the Bible that we would maybe just call in general brotherly love. Acts of kindness. Just treating another person with respect, human dignity. Doing something for another person because you like that person. That type of love we, in the Scriptures, has the origins from the word phileo, which we sometimes call the brotherly love. But there's another kind of love that I'm sure you're already familiar with, the agape love. The agape love is a love that says this: I love you because I'm committed to you, because I'm dedicated to you. I also can love you in the brotherly love kind of way, but this love, the agape love, takes me beyond the brotherly love and says, I love you even when you are unlovable. I love you even when you're not giving that love back to me. That's the agape love. That's the kind of love that we're going to be talking about this morning, because that's the type of love that's infectious and that stays with you and does a work in your life and a work in your heart that reflects Jesus Christ. The kind of love that says, I'll love you when you love me, but if you don't love me, forget it. That doesn't reflect Christ, because Christ never one time looks at your life and says, forget it. I'm going to stop loving you. I'm going to stop blessing you. I'm going to stop being in your life and with your life and walking with you. Christ never says that. Even when I'm bad, Jesus Christ loves me with an everlasting love. So this infectious love that we're going to be talking about this morning is exemplified through that word agape, or if you put an O on the end of agapeo, then we're talking about love in action. Love in action. Now, I suppose that there's a lot of places in the Bible we could go to talk about this kind of love. Some of the ones that come to my mind, and especially the one that comes to my mind, is in 1 Corinthians. Now, we're not going to necessarily, this isn't our text, but 1 Corinthians, the Scriptures gives us an example of what this love necessarily is not, but then again, on the other hand, what we're talking about that this love is. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, but I'm only resounding, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, and if I have the gift of prophecy, I cannot fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And he goes on and on and on throughout that chapter to describe that if I do good things, or if I even have special gifts and talents, but yet I'm missing the agape love, if I'm missing the committed love, he says, then I'm really nothing at all. Many other places in the Scriptures describes this type of love that says, I am committed, I am with you, not just in body and in soul and in mind, but I am with you in heart, and I am with you, connected and linked to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. This kind of love that we're going to be talking about this morning also is specific to the Christian community first, but then filters out into the rest of the world. And when I say specific to the Christian community first, I'm talking more importantly at the very beginning through those of us who are linked together through this congregation, the local church. You see, we as believers are called to love people everywhere, all the time. And especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. The brothers and sisters in Christ that are on the other side of town. And we can say we have a love for them. But if they have a special need, if they have something going on in their life that we should be praying with them about, can take action, most likely we're not even aware of it. And most likely, we're not going to be able to meet their need. right here in this local church, this congregation, when one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us is sick, we all ought to have some way of pitching in and helping out. When one of us is going through a trial or a tragedy or a great victory, we all come together and we all pray for one another. And if we can take some sort of action, then that's what we do. That's why last year we talked a lot about a care ministry. We call that CARE, meaning Christians Actively Reaching Everyone, using the acronym, the first letter of each of those. And in this idea of a care ministry, it's simple. It's when you know of someone in our congregation that has a need, let us know. Because chances are really good that we can in some way help out. We want to help out. We want to pray. We want to minister to them. We want to help them with physical and spiritual needs. In just a few weeks, I'm going to ask that those who will meet with us with a care ministry meeting. This might just, by the way, be a ministry for you. Perhaps you're not able to come up and play an instrument or sing a song. Perhaps you're not able to teach a Sunday school class or a children's church class. You say, well, what area of ministry could I do at International Baptist Church? Can you love people? Can you care for people? Ministry where we're going to start reaching out one to another in many, many different ways. So in 2 weeks, when you hear me announce about we're going to have a care ministry meeting, why don't you go ahead in your heart and your mind start praying about that and saying, Lord, is this a ministry for me? Is this something that I can do and be available and ready to be a part of the care ministry? Have you ever witnessed an act of love that changed your life or someone else's life? I mean, have you ever seen it firsthand with your own eyes? Have you ever experienced it firsthand with your own hands? An act of love that changed you. Now, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. We know that's an act of love that changes us all through the new birth. But I'm talking about from a person or a group of people to another person. Something that has changed your life, or you've seen an act of love that has changed someone else's life. Or think about this. Who's the most loving person that you know? Who's the most loving person that you know? And what is it that makes that person a loving person? For just a few minutes this morning, we're going to take a look at a video. It's only going to be about 4 minutes or so. And let me just explain to you a little bit about this video. And then we're going to get right into the message. You see, this video is of a father and of a son. The son was paralyzed from a very young age. And as he began to grow, the father was told that the son really would never be able to use his arms. He had never been able to use his legs. In fact, most all of his body was paralyzed. But the father continued to pray for his son. The father continued to minister to his son. One day he noticed that his son's finger was able to twitch just a bit. The father took great hope in that. And he began talking to his son as he got older. And his son said, you know, Dad, one day, and of course he had to spell all this out on the computer, but he said, one day I'd like to be able to run a triathlon. Triathlon with paralyzed legs and paralyzed arms and a body that just didn't function the way your body and my body functions. But he wanted to run a triathlon. But this father, who loved his son with a committed love, determined in his heart and determined in his mind, this boy's going to run a triathlon. Even if it kills me, if it's the last thing I ever do, he's going to run a triathlon. And the video that you're going to see is a video of a father's love for his son and a father who was so committed. This is real life, by the way. This is true video. And you're going to see clips of them going through their training. So let's take just a minute to watch this, and we're going to come right back into the message. If we go ahead and get the video queued up. Infectious kind of love? Isn't that a kind of love that makes you see that father? By the way, he wasn't a young man, was he? He could have said, I'm way too old for this. He could have said, son, this is way too hard. I can't swim that far, and I can't ride a bike that far, and I can't run that far. But he didn't. He said, I love you. And through the strength of God, all things are possible. And that was. I see an example of love like that. It becomes infectious to me. And it makes me say, you know, I want to love my family that way. And beyond my family, I want to love my church family that way. And beyond that, I want to love other people as much as possible in such a way. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what this community would think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if we become a church completely dedicated to our Lord with this infectious love? Man, it would change lives. It would change your life. And it would change lives around us. This morning in your Bibles, we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2, because we have a situation not too much unlike what we just witnessed on the DVD or the video. Here in Mark chapter 2, we have the story of Jesus who had been healing in the area. He had been ministering in the area. Now he's in a house. And in this house, he's doing miraculous, wonderful things. In so much that so many people had come to the house, they couldn't even fit them all in. They were standing outside the door. Let's read these first 5 verses. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And He preached the word to them. Some men came bringing Him a paralytic or paralegic man, carried by 4. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above. Jesus said, after digging through it, they lowered the mat and the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed, Son, your sins are forgiven. This example in the Scriptures is much like what we just witnessed. Someone who needed to be carried and carried by an infectious love in the name of Jesus Christ. For this man was paralyzed from his birth, yet some thought he was worth getting to Jesus. Others had just crowded in. They were curious. Others were in the house and in the room. Some were even questioning Jesus. Why is it that you heal? Why is it that you minister? Why do you do the things you do? But some, the Bible says, had concern. And 4 men lifted the corner of the mat. I can imagine it in my mind. We haven't been described in the Scriptures completely how this went, but I can imagine it in my mind that this paralyzed man laying on his mat, one man on each corner, and I can hear them saying, don't worry, Jesus is around, and we're going to get you there, whatever it costs us. Ever how far we have to travel. And if we can't get in the door, don't worry. We'll lift you up to the roof. And we'll break the tiles apart. And if we have to lift you down to Jesus, then we'll do it. It took quite a commitment. It took quite a plan. It took quite a strategy. But more than all of the planning, the strategy, more than all of that, it took the love of God, an infectious love in their heart for that to be done. If we're going to exist as a church with this infectious love, there's some things that we first must understand. First of all, love is a command and not an option. Love is a command and not an option. Listen to what the Gospel of John chapter 13 says, verse 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, He says, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You see, Jesus didn't leave us any wiggle room. Jesus didn't say, love one another when you feel like it. Love one another when it fits into your time schedule. Love one another and expect something in return. He didn't say that. He said, but by this will people know who you are. They'll know that you're my disciples if you have agape, love. Love in action for one another. How do you think that the people in that room where Jesus was standing, performing miracles, healing and ministering, how do you think those other people felt when all of a sudden they were questioning Jesus, these four guys come along carrying someone, and then he goes to the roof and he starts lowering them down? Why, if they were believers, first of all, they probably felt like, you know, that should have been me carrying him. Why didn't I think of that? Why was I so busy questioning Jesus? Why was I so busy there just for me? Jesus, can you do something for me? And they see these guys carrying someone else in. I would hope that that would be an infectious love. I would hope that that would cause people to say, you know what, I need to take my eyes off of me, for I'm all right. God loves me. God cares for me. But I need to be ministering to someone else. I need to be helping out with someone else. I need to be providing as much as I can, this infectious love towards someone else. I like what Matthew says, the Gospel of Matthew. These verses in chapter 5, verse 43 through 48 says this. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, then what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God tells us that this infectious kind of love goes beyond what just the world does. You see, if we love one another just the way the world loves one another, then we've really accomplished very little in our Christian life. But if we're willing to go a little bit beyond, if we're willing to understand that this love, this infectious love, is not just an option for me, but rather it's a command, and I must then be obedient unto my Lord, then we begin to look like a church similar to these four men carrying one to Jesus, taking others to Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and 5 tells us over and over, and we're not going to turn there necessarily, but if you go back and read those two chapters, I would like for you to just count how many times that the Lord Himself declares, love one another. Many, many times. In fact, almost every second verse that you read through chapters 4 and 5 of 1 John stops and says, love one another. Love one another. Over and over and over. Some people may not have time to fulfill this command. Maybe they're just not that into God. Maybe they're just not that into other people. There was a book a few years ago, all the ladies, I don't know about here, but all the ladies around in reading circles was reading this book. And it was mainly aimed at ladies who were on the dating scene. And they were trying to figure out, why is it that I'm dating this guy, but he just don't seem to, you know, respond to me? I mean, we go out on Fridays or we go out on Saturdays, but we're just not clicking. And the book was written for them and it was titled this, He's Just Not That Into You. Sounds encouraging, don't it? Can you imagine being with someone and they're just really not that into you? I mean, we've had friends like that before, haven't we? Friends that kind of come and go. Maybe I'll see them this week, maybe not. Maybe I'll hear from them on the phone or a text this week, but maybe not. Well, it's okay if I don't see them. No big deal. You see, sometimes we treat our church family that way, don't we? I mean, sometimes that title, maybe he's just not that into you. Maybe sometimes that applies to us. Oh, I got a call from somebody at church. You know, I'm kind of busy right now. Please don't ask me to help. Maybe I'm just not that into you. We have a special need going on at church. There's something where somebody really needs some people to pull together and do something special and in a big way. Let's ring around. Let's ring around and see who's available to come and help. Sorry, Pastor, I'm just not that into it. Lord, help us to never be a church where we're just not that into one another and we're just not that really much into the Lord either. That's not an infectious love, by the way. That's the kind of love that the tax collectors and the world has. But the kind of the love that the Lord is talking about takes us to our next point, number two, that this love is an outward proof of an inward change. An outward proof of an inward change. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says it this way. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love, agape that is, remains in death. Anyone who is unwilling to love in action, anyone who's unwilling to be into God and into brothers and sisters in Christ, God says, you're really just kind of dead in here. You're missing something, a key element of your salvation, a key element of what God done for you on the cross. And He defined it so clearly in John 3:16, for God so loved, agape, the same word that we're using here. For God so loved, the Scripture says the world, but you know what? You could put your name right there in that place. For God so loved Mike that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, if I'm not that much into Him, and if I'm not that much into that kind of love, then that verse just really means very little to me. But if I'm really into my Lord, if I'm really into my Savior, and I understand that He's into me, I want to be into Him. I want to do for Him. I want to live for Him. I want to exist on this earth for His purpose and for His glory. And if that includes that I must love you, if that includes that I must do for you, if that includes, as the command says, that I must love my brothers and sisters and that my love for the Lord will be known by the way that I love you, then so let it be. Because it's a wonderful thing. And it's a contagious thing. And it's something that those who are outside the walls of this building without Jesus Christ can never quite fathom or understand. But this kind of love starts inwardly and it works outwardly. That's why these men were carrying the paralyzed to Jesus. They weren't concerned about the argument or the theology that was going on in the room. They weren't concerned about how high the building is and how many resource consents that they might have to do to tear the roof off. I mean, we've been through that enough. They were concerned about one thing. Let's love God and let's get this guy to Jesus. Number three, love has an example to follow. Love has an example to follow. Here's what 1 John chapter 3:16 says. This is 1 John, not the gospel. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That reminds me, there was an old gospel song years ago that was written. That old gospel song said something like this. Now, I'm not that much into the old Southern gospel style music, but this one song, every time I would hear it, I would think, wow, that's right. That old song was titled, "When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind." Why is that? Why is it that Jesus Christ thinks so much of you? And why is it that Jesus Christ has left us example after example after example of what this love in action is all about? He's left us this example because He wants to make sure we don't miss it and that we follow it the way that Jesus Christ lived it. You say, but Pastor, I'm not that perfect. Well, neither am I. But yet at the same time, with the love of God, and with an infectious love, and with my brothers and sisters around me, I'm encouraged enough, and I'm just empty-headed enough, perhaps, to try to live it, and to strive to live it, and to want to live it. See, that's really the difference that we're talking about here. We're talking about a kind of love that every believer has access to. If you don't believe it, look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. What's the very first of the fruits of the Spirit? Love. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that every single one of you who are born again, every single one of you who have trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation has the ability through the Spirit of God to demonstrate this type of love that we're talking about. God didn't come back and say, now, for this section over here, I'm going to make you great singers, and I'm going to make you great teachers, but I'm going to leave the love part out of your life. And for this part over here, I'm going to make you great servers, and you're going to have the ability to just get in and get things done, but I'm going to leave the love out of your life. And He didn't say to this part of the congregation over here, I'm going to make you astute theologians. You're going to have the knowledge of the Scriptures and all of that, but I'm going to leave the love part out of your life. God didn't say that at all. He says if you're born again, if you are in the Spirit of God and as He is in you, He says that I have given you some very special characteristics, and the very first of those special characteristics is love. Because it starts inwardly and it works outwardly and it gives us an example. With this example, and by the way, these are some pretty strong words. With this example, there was never a time for an excuse. There was never a time in the wording of the Scriptures concerning love when it was demonstrated by another brother towards a brother or a sister that said something like this, "Sorry, Lord, today I don't have time. Sorry, Lord, today it's just a little bit beyond where I'm willing to go." In fact, the Bible tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk and we don't live this life within the means that we have. We live it within the means that God has empowered us through His Holy Spirit. And when we live our life through the means that God has empowered us through His Holy Spirit, then we can boldly stand before God, and in His power, all things are possible through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. Doesn't mean I'm going to go out here and lift up a car like some strong man. But it does mean that I can be a part of helping someone else. It does mean that I can help and love my brothers and sisters in my congregation. Number four, love is not an attitude or an emotion, action. Love is not an attitude or an emotion. It's an action. Again, back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions in the truth. My, the Lord has just laid it out plain and simple for us now. He says, you know, it's great to have an attitude of love. And oh, I like the warm fuzzies. I like the warm fuzzy feeling that love makes me feel comfy and cozy. But he says, that's not enough. He says, that's not the type of love we're talking about. The type of love we're talking about, he says, is an action. It's a doing something. It's helping someone. It's ministering to someone who has a need. It's loving someone even when they're unlovable. It's going beyond what is normal and reasonable to the world. To the world, it's not normal and reasonable that we take someone who is having a difficult trial and that we rally around them and we lift them up and we pray for them and we provide for their needs and we walk with them. We do everything we can for them to help them through Christ. To the world, that would not be normal. They would say they deserve what they get. They live that life that way. Let them pay the consequences. Oh yeah? You know how I lived my life and you know how you lived your life? And what would we be like if Jesus Christ would have said, well, you lived your life as a sinner, so I guess you're going to have to pay the consequences. Where would we be? We would be on the road to hell. Truly. But because God first loved us, we have the ability through the Spirit of God to take action and to minister to other people, starting right here in our own congregation. And then number five, this kind of love we're talking about, you better believe this, it's going to cost us something. This kind of love that we're talking about, this infectious love, it will cost us something. Again in 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18, he said, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him. God was making it quite clear. He said that what we have really belongs to Him. In fact, everything that you and I have, if we put all of our material wealth together in this room, all of it, we would have some great power to go out and to do something. But we must remember this, all of it combined still belongs to God. You didn't acquire it on your own. You didn't labor enough to get what you deserve. It's all provided at the hand of God. For it was God who in you and works through you that gives you the ability to do what you do and to be what you are. You didn't acquire it on your own. While when you were born in this world, you were born completely helpless and naked, by the way. Completely helpless. But because God loved you, He allowed you to be who you are and made you and molded you and shaped you into what you are and to what you will be. And He says, now that which I have provided for you, that which I have given to you, He says, let's take action. Let's take that and let's minister to one another. It's going to cost us something. And then lastly, loving others draws us closer to God. You'll never be any closer to God than you are when you are loving other people. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 through 24 says it this way. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemns us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is the command to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. It's often said that someone may come around and say, I want to get closer to God. In fact, on a pretty regular basis, Pastor Ken, myself, others who minister, will have at various times people that will come and say, Pastor, will you help me get closer to God? What can I do to get closer to God? Can I memorize the whole book of John? That would be great. Could I spend maybe 2 hours a day in prayer. Great, good for you. What if I come up to the church and I repair anything that needs to be repaired around the building? Great, do all of those kind of things. But you want to know how you can really get close to God, according to the Scriptures? You love one another in the way that Christ loved you. That's really the key to this infectious love. It's not just about doing busy work. It's about being busy about the Father's business. And His business was that we love one another the way that He loves us. I guarantee you this. You dedicate your life to ministering in some form or fashion to another person. You put another person in front of your own self wants, needs, and desires. I guarantee you this. You'll find yourself getting closer to God. You'll find yourself right in the hands of God, walking step by step with the Lord. See, God gives to us faith, hope, and love, doesn't He? He gives us those things. Your faith is through God. Your hope is in God. But He tells us the greatest of these things is love. Greatest of these things is love. IBC, I'm going to challenge you this morning this. Do you want an infectious love in your life? Do you want our congregation and do you share in the vision of IBC to become an infectious, loving church? It's going to cost us something, folks. And it's going to cost us to be obedient to God as well. And when we become obedient to God in this area of love, man, we'll change everything about us. We'll change people around us. And just like that guy that was carrying his son and made a big difference in his life, you'll make a difference in someone else's life as well. Why don't we stand together for just a moment? I'm going to have Pastor Ken to come and lead us through a time of invitation. But I challenge you this morning, folks, let this kind of love reign and rule in your heart like never before. Pastor Ken, why don't you come and lead us through a time of this invitation?
Would you bow your head and close your eyes? This is time that we do business with the Lord. The passage in 1 John said, "This is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us." Have you received and believed in Jesus Christ this morning as your Savior? Have you? Do you know without a doubt that you are in Him? That you are forgiven, your sins are cleansed, and you have a home in heaven. If that's your testimony, would you just signify by an upraised hand? I believe that. I am born again. I have a home in heaven. Testify. Is there anyone who may say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I've ever received Christ. I've ever believed in Jesus. I don't know if I am saved. Is there anyone like that that would just slip your hand up and say, I'm not sure? Would you pray for me though? Anyone? Slip your hand up right now, right where you are. This is time for business between you and God. Is there anyone who would say, I'm not sure? I just don't know. How about the second part, to love one another as He's commanded us? How are you obeying Him in this? I want to encourage us all to commit more this morning to being that kind of a Christian, that kind of Christianity, the kind that loves one another as Christ loved us, that puts them first, that infectious love, that says to the world, we're followers of Christ. Would you commit that with me this morning? A few moments, if you want to come and commit your heart to the Lord at this time, come to the front. If you need to talk with somebody, pray with somebody, would you step out right where you are right now? I'm going to lead us in prayer in just a few minutes, a few moments, but I urge you, if God is speaking to your heart, come now. Come now. Don't wait. Come. If you need to come and you're uncertain of your salvation, your relationship with God, come. If you want to recommit your life to Christ, come. Let's pray, and pray in your heart as I pray to the Lord. Father, I pray that you will, Lord, that you will do a work in my life, that, Lord, your love would reflect through me. Lord, I pray that you would make this church a place that truly reflects the love of Christ, a place that it's contagious, that when people come, they know that something is different here, that you are at work in our lives, and may it begin in me. Lord, you told us that your command is to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. Father, forgive me. Forgive me where I have not loved one another as you would have me to. And put in me, Lord, your Spirit to do that. Today I want to commit myself to my brothers and sisters as I have committed to you, to be there for them, to love them, to help them where necessary, Lord, even if it costs me. I thank you, Father, for speaking this morning to us. May we leave here changed and, Lord, more committed to you than when we came into this place today. Thank you for the message, Father. Thank you for your word. And thank you for Jesus Christ, for the life that he gives us, the love that he has shown us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.